Praise God. Well, I got a word I want to share with y'all tonight. I don't really want to share it. I told my wife coming in, it's one of those messages that's really pinpointing and needling me. And so I don't really want to share it, you know. But then I figure if I'm being miserable, y'all might as well be too. So, so get your Bibles out. And let's start. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 6. I've got one. Matthew chapter 6. Now these are. I want to. I don't know. I've got three written down on my hand and one more in here. So these are maybe four scriptures that you really need to jot down in your Bible somewhere, so that you can memorize these or and have them and place you can go look at it. Because what I'm going to preach to you tonight is an everyday affair. Okay. This is what life's like every day. No matter what, it's not going to change. When you think it's going to go away, it'll be there tomorrow. And so it's one of those things you got to learn to deal with and to beat and to battle. Amen? So the first scripture here is Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. Lord gave me this years ago. It took me a long time to figure it out. But it says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness in you? In other words, if your eye is always looking in the wrong place, your eye is always looking at the wrong thing, your eye is always looking at the problem, not the answer, and you lose your focus in life, there's always going to be darkness within you. All right? So I'm talking tonight mainly about your focus and where you're looking. What you're looking at. What are you looking at for the future? What are you looking at for tomorrow? What are you looking at, you know, coming on down the road? Because if you look at things in out of the light of the gospel, things don't look good. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're all getting older. You're getting older. I don't care who you are. You're getting older. Your age doesn't stop. You're getting older. Life is changing. Good Lord, who knows what it'll look like a year from now and who's going to be the president of the United States and what's going to happen and what kind of laws or restrictions or whatever we're living under. You know? Things are changing. Things are going on. But if you focus on the bad, if you focus on the, and I'll get into the whatever it is here in a minute. If you focus on all the non-truths, then what happens is you become dark. And everything looks dark. And everything looks bleak and everything looks black. Amen? Okay, so that's first scripture. So now let's go to John 10 and I'll tell you why does this happen. Gospel of John chapter 10. Verse 10. The thief comes not except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. Why does this happen? Why does this take place? Why do we lose our focus in life? Because there's an enemy out there, and he wants you to lose focus. He wants you to be distracted driving down the roads of life. He wants you to get off. That's his job, and he's good at it. He's been around forever. He's very good at what he does. He's very good at knowing that if what used to maybe get you off track is not working anymore, that he changes his methods, changes his tactics, changes the approach that he has. Because what he wants you to do is to lose your focus. Because if you lose your focus in life, then what happens is, what has he said? Darkness is going to take over. And I think a lot of times we tend to think, well, you know, praise God, I'm not where I was, and that's good. You know, we've got growth in our life. But then a lot of times we don't watch it. We just become complacent Christians. We just become Christians who, yeah, we're saved. Yeah, we did our Bible time. Yes, we had a little devotional this morning. Yes, we read our word. Yes, we did our you know, steps, and we did this, and we did that, and we sang, and oh, we listened to praise music today, and whatever, but we're not doing anything. We're not going anywhere. We're not affecting anybody's life. We're not affecting anybody's life. And if our life is not touching somebody or moving forward in the gifts and the callings of God, well, then we've got to watch it, because we just become stagnant. And when we become stagnant, we become just in one, you know, just one location, and that's all we're working in, all we're, you know, we're moving in. Well, then what's going to happen is then slowly the enemy's worked his way in and stolen from you to where you're not on fire like you used to be. You're not full of zeal like you used to be. Okay? So then let me tell you how he's going to do it. Okay? Go backwards, back to Matthew chapter 13. Like I said, I got this message first. Just hold on. I don't want Matthew 13. I think I want Mark's gospel. Let me go over here. My Palm Pilot was wrong. Yeah, let's go to Mark 4. I want to start in verse 15. It's the parable of the sower, but I want to read it out of Mark's gospel rather than Matthew's. It says, "And these are the ones by the wayside." Jesus explained the parable to them. "Where the word is sown, they hear, and Satan comes immediately to take away the word that is sown in their heart. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, that they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. And these are the ones sown among thorns, the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for the thing, enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." You realize in every one of those places, every one of those examples he's telling about, whether they were the wayside or the stony ground or the, you know, the sown among the thorns, everyone was about stealing the word. Everyone was about stealing the word. The first one was easy. He just came in and immediately. The second one on the stony ground, you know, it didn't take any root, so that means it did sprout and it did start to grow, but it didn't take any root, so, you know, it was a little more difficult. The third one here, you know, tribulation came up, persecution rises, and then, you know, and then the word got stolen. How many of us know, I mean, how many of us have either been in this place or we know somebody in this place that, you know, started out like a house fire, got all happy and full of joy and whatever, and then where'd they go? And then the next one, you know, got on fire, started to go, and we knew it, and they went a little farther, and they went a little longer than everybody else, and then all of a sudden, you know, trauma hit, bad things hit, this happened, this, whatever, like this, and then they, all of a sudden they were lost, and we didn't even know where they were, and they come. And then you got the others that are, you know, and this is the scary part. Because if you get down here, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, okay, the lust for other things. In other words, that's what's affecting you. If you've grown in your Christianity and you've come to this place, you're still not going to get away from that happening and coming to you. You may not be getting it stolen immediately. Okay, and when you get into tribulation, now maybe you've come to the place where you don't, you know, you go forward with Jesus and you pray and you go forward. But all those things still come upon us all the time. Are you with me? And it's like to me a giant neon sign, just whoo, what's it for? Is it still the word? Why does it happen? Why does tribulation come? Why does cares come? Why does the deceitfulness of riches come? Why do the lust for other things come? So why do they come? To steal the word that's in your heart. Wow, isn't it amazing if that's what's trying to get stolen? Don't you think we ought to have that to be as our main focus in life? Or you could be the person saying, well, look, man, if I don't put any word in my heart, well, then maybe he's going to leave me alone and I can just make it to heaven and we don't have to do anything. Yeah, that don't work either. You know, I think in Christianity, sometimes we've gotten in a religious rut, because what we do is we say, every time we do something and something bad happens, say, well, man, I must have really been doing something good, or otherwise the devil would have stopped me from doing this. But no, it's just, that's just the world. It's just the world. It just happens. We live in a fallen world. We live in a bad place, in tribulation, persecution. What you need to ask yourself is, did I lose any word in this ordeal? You need to check your treasury to make sure the devil didn't come in and steal some word out of you. Because that's what it was all for. You know, if you knew, if a police officer stopped you and said, look, when you walk down the street, there's three people that are going to try to steal your wallet. You need to be very careful. Would you not be, I mean, putting your hands in your pocket, watching so that somebody bumped you and didn't steal your wallet, or was, you know, coming around? You would be cautious so nobody'd steal your wallet. Well, if you know right off the bat here that the Jesus is telling you that the devil's trying to steal the word that's in you, well, then every time tribulation comes, you shouldn't stop and say, oh, well, why is the devil attacking me? I must be doing something good. You notice he's saying, man, where's my word? I got my word. Gotta make the devil trying to steal my word. I gotta keep my pockets. Where's my, you know, make sure the safe, did we lock the safe? Is the vault shut? Do we have no other key? You know, because he's trying to steal the word. That's what's trying to happen to you. The word's trying to come out of your heart. And I'll be honest with you, some of the most discouraging things that happen in my life as a pastor is when I pray for people that are sick and they don't get healed. Because it steals the word from my heart, because I want to see them instantly healed. But the bottom line is, I don't know what's going on in their life, and it's not me, it's them. You know, we got to live our own lives. But the bottom line is, I have to watch them, because I always want word to get stolen, because then the next person that's sick, I don't want to pray for them. Because it's safer. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I'm just telling you the truth. You know, you believe in God for financial miracle or something like that, and you don't see anything happen, then after a while you get to where you don't want to pray for a financial miracle. Well, wait a minute, what happened was is the enemy came and he stole the word that was trying to take root in your heart. You just fell into that parable. You know, you read Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You felt like God told you to give and you went and gave. And then you were just short in your bank account that month. So then you're like, oh, wow. Well, it didn't have time to take root in you, and it already got stolen. That's what the battle is. That's what the struggle is. And if we lose our focus, listen, I want to show you what the focus is in just a second. If we lose our focus of what's taking place and the words, the devil's trying to steal the word, that's part of the focus. He's trying to steal your word. And we lose that focus, well, then what's going to happen is we're going to get, man, we're just going to get pilfered. Enemies is going to come in and just steal everything in the world from you. I can't even drink water. And that's what happened to me today. It's like I got some words stolen from me and it made me mad. But I didn't realize until I was in place of worship how it got stolen. I didn't realize that a little bit's been chinking open my door, and I didn't realize this little bit. Wasn't a big thing. Wasn't a great big hairy devil. See, that'd be so easy if, like, demons were like shooting hogs. You know? Wow. This whole week when I've been driving back and forth, I don't know what it is. It's dove. Last couple of weeks, it's been turkey. Turkeys all over the road. Turkeys just trying to crash into me. I mean, it's like they're just turkeys from hell. And now I don't know what it is, because nobody hauling grain or anything right now, but doves are all over the highway. Stupid birds. I mean, you can't hardly drive down the road because you just dodging and ducking, and, you know, but they're just out there everywhere. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it's like these things, you know, we ought to be able to get rid of these things, you know. I mean, but my point is, what I just was thinking about, it's just like that. I don't know what they're doing, but they're little distractions all over the place. And that's what happens is the enemy comes in, these little distractions, little things going on all over the place, and he's stealing He's stealing some word, or he's chinking into your hole. He's getting in there, and he's going to, because he wants to get the word that's sown in you. Wow, do you realize that even the word that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is in jeopardy of being stolen? Think of that. That's a word in you. Oh, it can never be stolen. Don't say that. You better be guarding that word. Okay? So let's take this on a little farther. Go to Philippians chapter 3. This just starts to be where it gets ugly now. This has all been good and nice and easy, and now it starts to get ugly. Philippians 3:12. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Everybody say press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Now Paul's about to tell us what he's pressing on towards and what he's going to lay hold of. Right? Brethren, I do not commit myself to... I press towards the goal. Verse 14. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, his goal is Jesus. The prize, the goal and the prize of what he's pressing towards is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, being everything that he can be in Jesus, to know Jesus and to walk with him and to fellowship with him. And well, wow, if you're going to do that, that means you're going to have a lot of truth in you. Right? Well, if that's, you're going to have a lot of truth in you, well, then the truth's going to want to be stolen. Because you fall in the parable. The enemy's coming to steal it. He wants to steal it. You got to keep your focus being that the word wants to be stolen, and my goal out there is to get the deepest relationship with Jesus as possible you can get. And as long as you're focused and your goal, you stay focused on the goal, say it that away. You stay focused on the goal and know you're not going to be stolen from. Well, then I want to tell you something. You're going to make it. But what's going to happen? There's going to be cares of the world. There's going to be deceitfulness of riches. There's going to be lust for other things. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be persecution. Because all that is tactic to steal the word. So now, jump to chapter 4. Paul's still going along here. Verse 6, holy cow, Philippians 4:6, it's almost like a dirty word in the Bible. It says, be anxious for nothing. Why would you be anxious for something? Actually, if you read it in King James, it says, be careful for nothing. And the word anxious, if you look up the word anxious, I mean, they translated it careful, be careful, like watch out, okay? But if you really look at it, it really means anxious. Anxious is a good word to stick in there in the more of a more refined definition. But how many of you know when you're grieving or caring for something, right, you can become anxious. That's the kind it means. It doesn't mean care like, you know, you cared for the baby, it means, right? It says, be anxious for nothing. Well, where does anxiousness come from? It falls underneath what happens to you in life. Just listen to me. When the parable starts to take place and tribulation or persecution or cares of the world or deceitfulness of riches or lust of other things starts dragging you out, anxiousness comes in your life. You become anxious. When you're worrying about tomorrow, you're worrying about anything, listen, you gotta. It helps me to stop and remind myself, watch out, don't be so worried about this because the devil's trying to steal you from you. It changes my approach to it. Because if my approach is, you know, oh God, I gotta get this done because we, you know, da, 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 da. Or, I gotta, you know, Lord, you gotta do something to help me win this battle, da, 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 da. You know, whatever it is, Well, then you're just in the middle of the fight, the turmoil, you're not looking and saying, whoa, wait a minute, somewhere somebody's trying to steal something from me. Because, you know, last time I checked, once you got saved and Jesus came to live on the inside of you and your body became the temple of the living God, and I think we already won. We actually have already won. We've actually really already arrived. We actually have already got everything in us that we could ever need, but we don't have any sense in our heads because we didn't walk in it, so we don't have any revelation of it, so we're not really walking in it. But the truth of the matter is we really already won. So what's the devil trying to steal? What we won. I talked to a guy that pulled a slot, actually his wife did, pulled a slot machine in Vegas and won $25,000. And so he thought he was going to be real smart. And so when they went to cash out the chips, he said, I want cash, man, give me cash. So then he had $25,000 cash, and he thought, well, man, that thing went off, and it, you know, made a bunch of noise, and people were watching me and everything, and, you know. He said, I didn't sleep all night long. All I knew was somebody was going to come into my room, knock me in the head, and steal my $25,000. He said, all I could do was the next day wrap it up and try to get it to a bank and kind of get into the bank and get into the account because I was so nervous and just undone because I knew I had this money on me. Well, oh, yeah, he had something valuable he didn't want stolen. Well, what do we got that's valuable? Salvation, grace, mercy, everything Jesus gives us. So Paul's trying to say, look, I want you to press onto the mark of the high calling of Jesus. I want you to stay focused. I want you to stay on this. Realize the devil's trying to steal from you. Don't let him steal from you. Don't let him take this from you. Don't lose your peace. Look, don't be anxious for anything, but with all prayer and supplication, let your thanksgiving be made known and your request be made known unto God. He said, look, man, kill it. The enemy's coming. The tactic to steal, just pray and turn it over to God so the enemy can't steal from you. Can't steal the word that's sown in your heart. Don't be fearful. I've got you. Everything's okay. Trust in me. Everything's going to work out. Just realize every time you got a revelation from reading your word and then you're not walking in it today. The enemy stole it from you. He slipped it out of your pocket. He pickpocketed you. Because you know the truth of the matter is, if he tried to rob us straight on, you know what I mean? We would be guns blazing of the Holy Ghost. Right? And depending on how big your cannon is, your howitzer would come out. But when we didn't realize it, just pickpocket, little slight hand of movement, the little slip up here or there, right? He steals from you. And see, that's what makes me mad, is I didn't realize until this afternoon I got stolen from. And what made me mad is I didn't realize I got stolen from. But I know who did it. Boy, they're going to catch it. But you follow what I'm saying? It was a pickpocket, that little thief. So if you become anxious, watch it. The enemy's throwing some stuff at you. He's moving his hand over here while he's trying to pick your pocket over here. Watch it. And Paul says, look, don't even get into anxiousness because you're going to lose your focus. You're going to miss the prize of the high call. You're going to miss what you're going for. So don't do that. Don't get in that. So just pray and make your supplication known unto God so that then your prayers can get answered. So then he goes on and he says, and then the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Okay? So, okay, before I get to the next part. I've told y'all this before. The only sport that I really enjoy watching is boxing. And I don't like the UFC kind of stuff. I like plano, straight up, Marcus Queensberry rules boxing. And I've always been amazed at a person, how you can be hit in the face and still try to maintain your composure and not just get mad and just, you know, just get after it. You're sitting on their box, boom, 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 boom. But they know what they're doing. They're smart. They're trained. They're dodging punches. They're doing what they can to get that one jab in here or there, right? And they don't lose. They don't want to get emotional. They're not out there to have a brawl. You with me? And that takes skill. That takes discipline. It takes control of yourself. Well, if you know the enemy's going to steal from you, it's like I said, if he comes up with something big, everybody's just guns blazing, man, we're just firing word off. But it's just that little slight pickpocket. The cool thing would be is to be able to keep your composure, because see, you don't want to become anxious. You want the peace of God to be guarding you. You need to be smart. You need to be wise. You need to be full of wisdom. Why now wouldn't it be so much better just to know that the thief was right down that road and you just moved your wallet to your other side? Years ago, I used to always carry a wallet in my back pocket. It's like everybody did. And then when I started traveling, the first thing everybody started telling me when I was traveling, I said, man, you need to get a front pocket wallet. And I carry a front pocket wallet now. Everything's inside of me. It's in my front pocket. It's harder to steal because I can stick my hand in my pocket like I always do anyway and hold on to it. But you see, we got to be wise. We got to be, it's like that boxer. He says, well, look, if you're anxious, you're not thinking right. How many times have you been flustered at something or whatever, and then all of a sudden, where did I put my purse, or where did I put this, or who was that? Well, you know, how did you lose that? Well, because you were flustered. You got all caught up in everything. It's like when I leave the house in the morning and I'm headed out, I always have two leavings. I have the first leaving where I'm trying to rush out and hurry up and get outside and get gone. And I kiss my wife goodbye and I tell her I'm going to see you later. And I got to get out of the car. And then I make it right to my front gate, which is about from, you know, here to the wall. And I realize, oh, I stopped for a minute and I prayed. And I realized, oh, yeah, I forgot that. I need that. And then I back up and I come in. I tell her, you know, it's my second leaving, you know, and then I go through the house again and pick up all the things that I forgot. And what I'm saying is that, why did I do that? Because I got anxious. I had to hurry up and go. I got in a hurry, got in a rush, I forgot. Well, if you're anxious, be anxious for nothing. If you're anxious for nothing and the peace of God's ruling your heart, you'll see that thief. You'll see that pickpocket. And you'll pick it out and say, man, I see this one coming. What's he trying to do? Steal the word in my heart. So then look what Paul says. Finally, brethren, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Okay, so here is where I'm going to end it. I'm a person, I have a hard time trying to figure out what he's really talking about there, because I just don't. It's hard for me to just drum up some happy thoughts. And if I do drum up happy thoughts, it's things I shouldn't do. Ice cream, cake, donuts. Are you following me? I mean, I can only think of flowers and mountains and dandelions and, you know, or whatever for so long. And they hit me today. Look what his first thing says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. There's only one thing I know it's true. That's the Word of God. So what if that was just broken down and he just said, okay, whatsoever things are in the Word, they'll be noble, they're just, they're pure, they're lovely, they're of a good report, they're virtuous. And they're praiseworthy. So just think about these. Why not be meditating on the Word, since that's what's trying to get stolen from you? And then I was like, you know, wow, I do that a whole lot more than I thought. I just never put it into that perspective of verse 8. I was just trying to say, all the little children are happy. Everywhere the church is full and everybody loves Jesus. It's gone. Now I'm trying to think like that. I can only think, I'm like, get a break, Robert, man. I don't know what. And then it hit me. What sort of things are true? The truth. If we just meditate on the truth, it fits in every place in that category. So Paul's saying, look, the word's going to be stolen from you. It's this simple. Stay focused. Don't lose sight of the prize. It's the word that's going to be stolen in you. So don't get anxious because you're going to miss the pickpocket. And just keep meditating on the truth, and then everything's going to work out. And as long as you stay there, the thief's going to be found. Amen? So, praise God. Keep meditating on it. Keep dwelling on it. Keep doing it. You're doing good. Keep going forward. Just watch out for the thief. Like I said, if it was just like an old wild hog running across, you'd shoot it, man. It'd be easy, but it ain't that easy. It's a little pickpocket, little guy that wants to make you think everything's okay and it's sweet and nice, and that's the one you better watch out for. Amen. Well, praise God. Let's take up our offering. If you need any offering envelope, Bill will get you one. If not, put your hand in your offering. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you right now in Jesus' name for all the goodness that you give us. Lord, you so bless us. You so want to pour everything upon us. And Lord, sometimes we just don't see it. So I just pray tonight over every person, Lord, that our eyes are open, that we behold your glory, behold what you want to do for us, behold how you want to bless us. Lord, at every turn, everywhere we go, at every turn, Lord, that you're just there blessing us. You've got great things for us. You've got great financial blessings for us. You've got great spiritual blessings for us, Lord, in everything that we do. And so, Lord, I just praise you for it. I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Do I have God's Girls tomorrow night? God's Girls tomorrow night, 6:30.